Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Yes, you, you, and you. Let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I just want you to know, child of God, I am so glad that you joined me on today. And we're going to have another wonderful lesson on today, and I'm excited that you are here with me. Why don't you grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. We are going to be talking about Matthew, loyal to the kingdom of God. And we're going to be talking about loyalty and being loyal to the things of God. Now, as you're gathering your things, we're going to pray, and we're going to get right into the lesson on today. Father, we come right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and by your power divine, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We ask, oh God, that you bless, Lord, our hearers on today. Meet every one of their needs. We come into a spirit of agreement that, Lord, everything that you have desired for them, it will be manifested and come to fruition. And, Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and honor in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. Amen and amen. And so we're going to be looking at various passages of scriptures on today, Matthew chapter number 9, verses 9 through 13, also Matthew chapter 24, verses 11 to 13, and then concluding with Matthew 24, verses 21 to verse 27. And so let's go to our lesson text on today, Matthew 9, verses 9 and 13 through 13. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, "Follow me," and he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciple. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciple, "Why eat ye your master with publicans and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice, but I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Matthew chapter 24, verses number 21, verse 27. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not once the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there shall be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' believe it not, for there shall arise false prophets, Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it was possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go not forth. 'Behold, he is in the secret chambers,' believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, one other scripture as we are moving into this wonderful lesson is Matthew chapter 24, verses 11 and 13. It said, "And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abide, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So far, the reading of our scriptures for our lesson on today. And let's take a look at our focus thought for today. Now, loyalty, it is the characteristic or character trait of great strength. When attached to the right cause, in this case in God's kingdom, it is the greatest gift to the success and continuance of the cause and its leadership. And we must look at our loyalty to the kingdom of God and the things of God. Now, let's take a look at this particular lesson. Now, the gospel bearing Matthew name is the front door to the New Testament. While we do not have a significant amount of biological information even on Matthew, the author of the book, we do know for a few things about him. Prior to his calling, he was known as Levi. As a tax collector, he apparently had set aside his commitment to the law of Moses in order to secure a lucrative position under the auspices of the Roman government. When Jesus called him, however, Levi left the custom table immediately to follow him and become known as Matthew, the gift of Jehovah. Woven throughout his history and story is the common thread of loyalty, first to the Roman government for the wrong reason, and then to Jesus and his kingdom for the right reasons. Matthew's loyalty shifted paradigmically from self and Caesar's to Christ and service. Perhaps Matthew's years of negotiating through the vast of governmental regulations and coping with the immodesty of the Jewish opposition served to give him a unique perspective on God's heavenly kingdom. He referred to that kingdom 46 times in his gospel, shifting the focus from himself and placing it squarely on King Jesus. He wrote as skillfully as a government scribe and probably referencing his meticulous notes on the life of Jesus and relying on his accurate recall. Just as a tax collector under the flag of Rome based his power on Caesar's authority, Matthew recognized that the authority of the kingdom of heaven was vested entirely in Jesus Christ. His loyalty and submission to the king's authority shine through every line of Matthew's book. Take a look at Levi the publican, and we'll look at various aspects of his life. Now, we have only a spare knowledge of Matthew's life prior to his call to follow Jesus. Mark noted that Matthew's father's name was Alphaeus, Mark 2:14. Luke devoted one sentence to reveal Matthew was first known as Levi, and he served as a government tax collector, Luke 5:27. These verses, along with Matthew's own account in chapter 9 of his book, begins to piece together the story of this outstanding apostle. In Matthew's days, the government taxed all commodities being transported along the ancient trade routes, as well as those from the local merchants. Now, further, as we see, Levi probably maintained an office in or on Capernaum, a city located about a mile east of the Table trade route that originated in Damascus. His duties required business swaps. He kept abreast of the value of wool, flax, linen, silver, gold, barley, olives, fig, wheat, and the like. He compared the value of domestic and foreign monetary system, and he developed communication skills and learned to deal with all manner of people. It is possible that Levi's business brought him daily to the fishing dock on the northern bank of Galilee, and he had heard of Jesus and heard him speak. And he may have heard about the miraculous drought of fish Peter and his partner hauled in at Jesus' word. Perhaps what he had seen and heard motivated him to follow Jesus. The publican was a Jewish citizen who pledged their loyalty to the Roman government in exchange for the political appointment. These bureaucrats collect taxes from their Hebrew brethren. In addition to Caesar's portion, the publican could track on his own surcharge as a commission. Now, the Romans cared only that their coffers were kept full, so the overcharging and the harassment perpetrated by the collectors caused them no concern. As a result, the Jews hated the publicans, not only for embracing the Roman authority, but also for seemingly ripping holes in their pockets. When they arrived to the toll booths or tax office, profit seemed to vanish. Prior to his encounter with Jesus, this was Levi's profession. That's what he did. Now, Matthew, the worldly Jew, Matthew lived near the village of Capernaum, and this small fishing town played a significant role on our Lord's earthly ministry. Not only did he take up a brief residence there after John the Baptist's imprisonment, but Peter, James, and John, and Andrew lived and worked there. They operated their fishing business on the northern shores of the South Sea of Galilee. This probably is the spot where, after toiling all night and catching nothing, at Jesus' command, they let down the net again and hauled in such a huge catch that the net began to break. This small community of about 1,500 souls loved Jesus, and for it he called five of his 12 disciples, the four listed above, and Matthew. Matthew's decision to serve the Roman government was probably part of his well-calculated plan. Siding with the foreign powers secured for him a lucrative business and position, and being an agent of the world's most powerful government would certainly stroke a young man's ego. Along with his loyalty to Caesar came the protection of the Octavian army, security of a lifelong employment. An impressive future laid before Matthew as long as Rome remained in power and at the top of his list of loyalties. Now let's take a look and shift again and look at Levi, the tax collector. Now during the Old Testament period when the Jews was expelled, exiled in Babylon and unable to worship in the temple at Jerusalem, they established community synagogues for worship and for training their children in the way of the law. Publicans were ostracized from the community and denied admittance to the synagogue for their way of life and disqualified them from participating in the Jewish worship. For an example, collecting taxes required their presence in areas that the Jews avoid, and the job necessitated contact with people and animals the law said were unclean. Now, in addition, some Roman positions are required Jews to pledge allegiance to the reigning Caesar, which meant the people making the pledge considered service to Caesar more vital than the commitment to the true God of their fathers. But the amnesty did not emanate only from the people who paid the taxes. The tax collector in kind and dealt out an abuse to those who they cheated. Now, after Matthew's transformation into a follower of Jesus, he invited the Lord and his disciple to his home as an honored guest at a lavish banquet. Perhaps Matthew's concern for the salvation of his former colleagues caused him to invite many of them to the feast as well. Outraged, the Pharisee pulled some of the disciples aside and accused, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collector and sinners?" Now, this typifies the feeling of the Jews towards their compromising brethren. From the Pharisee's perspective, if a person associated with a publican and a sinner, it meant he sided with them, and to side with them meant that offering offending people shared in their sin. Now, the tradition of the elder passed from one generation to the next and taught that any person desiring to honor God and the law of Moses would avoid publicans and certainly never share a meal with them. Now, let's look at another aspect here, the loyalty to self. Before the Lord called the Galilean tax collector to follow him, Levi properly followed wherever his own selfish wishes led. By virtue of his position as a publican, Levi had turned his back on the tradition that generation of his family had cherished and followed. He had to value that position above any friendly relationship, and if he cared about the scorn of his community, he did not let it show. The adage, take care of number one, certainly could have appealed to Levi. Now, in order to achieve and maintain such a position, Levi had to pledge his loyalty to a worldly system that often was dramatically opposed to the training and godly principles that he had received as a child. Like many, he may have reasoned he could compartmentalize his life by keeping his job and commitment to Caesar separate from his devotion to God. It probably did not occur to him that his mission in an ungodly system might drown him. Regardless of its possibility, eternal rationalization, the outward manifestation of his profession indicated Levi was devoted and loyal to a worldly Roman system. Now, let's take a look at this further. The loyalty of Matthew to the kingdom of God and the backdrop that we just received about how he was loyal to the things that he did become involved in. Now, we must recognize loyalty is critical for the kingdom of God as we as being people of the Lord God have been called into the kingdom of God and staying loyal to the principles, to the doctrine, and to the things of God is very key, especially when we're living in a time when loyalty is almost like a commodity. You almost don't see it anymore and things, but loyalty is vital. Remember, there was a time that even businesses were very loyal to their employees. And so that mindset has really, really changed down throughout the years of loyalty. Now, let's look here at Matthew, the Christian. Matthew called to transfer his loyalty. Since Matthew lived in a region Jesus once had called home and a place he continued to frequent, it is possible that Matthew knew Jesus quite well. Regardless of whether they had met long before or not, until the day Jesus stopped by Matthew's table of custom and something significant compelled Matthew to respond immediately when Jesus spoke. To read Luke's account of the event, one might suppose that Jesus called Matthew with a spur of the moment afterthought as he spelled him from passing by. Now, Luke wrote, after these things, Jesus went out and saw the tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. Now, however, we know from Jesus' explanation to Nathanael that he knew exactly where to find those who he chose to call. To Nathanael, behold, Philip called you to come and see when you were under the fig tree and I saw you. Surely he knew precisely where to find Matthew, and he went that way on purpose to call Matthew away from his life of tax collection. Soon after his conversion, Matthew hosted a feast, which Jesus' disciple and many of his Matthew publican friends attended. The scribe and the Pharisee reprimanded some of the disciple and asked the reason for this otherwise and this offense. Before the disciple could open their mouths to defend their behavior, Jesus interrupted. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. If the scribes and the Pharisee had looked at the publicans through a different lens, they would have seen that their sin-sick soul needed a savior remedy. And this was the reason Jesus came, to reach out to those who needed him the most. Our loyalty to God required that we be loyal to his cause. We must sacrifice our personal comfort and our own opinions so that we can accomplish his work. if we interact only with individuals who shares our own comfort zone and speak only to those whose lifestyles were approved, we will overlook the very one, Jesus, who died to save. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. Now let's look at Matthew's new loyalty. None of the New Testament writer record recorded anything about Matthew's life after he accepted Jesus' call and became one of his disciples. Now, we can, however, reach some conclusion regarding Matthew's life and character by consulting his gospel. Whatever selfishness may have motivated Matthew to serve Caesar, it had disappeared by the time he wrote this gospel. He omitted any references to his own life or personal contribution to the cause of Christ, but he wrote of the kingdom of heaven 46 times. It had once had been selfish. He has proved that he had found a better way by admonishing his readers to remain faithful to Jesus regardless of tribulation coming upon the world. He further proved his loyalty by warning of imposters who would come in the name of the Lord and try to insinuate themselves into the midst. The loyalty that kept Matthew close to Jesus is the same loyalty that kept the present-day disciples secured in Christ. Let's look at what Matthew, he accepted. Matthew's response to the call of Christ mirrored that of the other disciples from the Capernaum, Luke 5 and 11. And he left all, rose up and followed him. For these men, there was no looking back. It appeared that although they previously may have rejected the publican, the disciple Capernaum accepted Matthew without hesitation. Matthew served along with the men who held him at arm's length. Their loyalty to Jesus became the common bond that fused them together and erased the differences that once existed. Matthew accepted by the disciples proved that he found his place in the families of believers who were charged with establishing God's church. Now let's look at further at the loyalty, and loyalty is a gift of God. The quality God's word teaches us to develop our characteristics of his own nature. God desired loyalty from his people because he is loyal. There shall not any man be able to stand before me thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'm with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua 1 and 5. God promised to be loyal to Joshua to the same degree he was loyal to Moses, and he remained loyal to every person he called. The gift to self. As individual who does the right thing in usual, the greatest benefactor of the deed. Loyalty produces its own rewards. It eliminates the inner conflict produced by double-mindedness. Loyalty begets sincerity. Sincerity develops honesty and making a peacemaking spirit. Only the passing of time reveals whether a person is loyal. Loyalty and faith are not proven during the exciting first few weeks when the call is still fresh. Like gold is in the refiner fire, loyalty and faith slowly reveal their presence as time and trials apply pressure and heat that forces out the dross until only the pure remain. In essence, loyalty to God's word becomes the pathway to deliverance from tribulation. Jesus describes in Matthew 24, only a firm commitment to follow no one but Jesus can prevent a disciple from being deceived by false Christ, Matthew 24 and 24. And our faith and loyalty to his word will provide, prepare us for his coming. Thus, the loyal disciple benefited most from his own loyalty. Now, let's look again at loyalty. The greatest gift to others. The benefit of being loyal is far beyond personal rewards. Loyalty breeds trust. And trust is the cornerstone of the foundation of all human relationships. Those blessed with loyal friends find themselves free from jealousy and envy. Pettiness and selfishness are seldom evidenced in relationship between loyal friends. Perhaps no story better illustrates the loyalty of friendship than that of Jonathan and David. When Jonathan's father, King Saul, became angry at David and resolved to kill him, Jonathan warned David and preserved his life, even though he knew it meant that he would lose his right to the kingship of Israel. As Saul's anger intensified, Jonathan risked his own life to warn and protect David. Ultimately, Saul and Jonathan died in the battle. When David became king, he commanded his servant to find out if any of Saul's relatives have survived the battle and its aftermath. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Even though Jonathan had died, the loyalty of their friendship continued to survive. When the message came that one of Jonathan's sons still lived, David sent for him in Lodabar, located in Gazarene territory, just southeast of the Sea of Galilee. Fearfully, Masapateta entered the king's presence and bowed down low and expecting retribution from the one whom his grandfather had tried to murder. Instead of judgment, he received the promise of blessing, provision, and restoration of all that had belonged to his grandfather. David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for David thy father's sake, and I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." The benefit of Jonathan's loyalty to David came to his son several years after Jonathan's death. Since loyalty is a facet of God's nature, believers will experience the full power of loyalty as they grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Individuals who were under the sentence of death, who once pledged their loyalty to Christ, evil appointed, whose sins were too many to be enumerated, will be clothed with the spotless garment at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Therefore, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Now, the great gift to the cause of Christ. Solemn does life unfold the way we anticipate. Emergency, unforeseen events erupt our plans and dreams of faithful followers whose priority is to put the will of God above his own ambition, propel the kingdom towards forward. Faithfulness, despite disappointment, reveals a loyalty to God's word that runs deeper than the superficial commitment which withers when good times have faded away and gone to bad. Now, loyalty to the cause of Christ begins with faithfulness to his word. Regardless of what else we do and how well we do it, unless we are building upon the foundation of truth, our labor is in vain. Matthew 7 and 26. God's word is truth and deserves loyal submission. Jesus prayed to those who would follow him, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17:17. Loyalty to the cause seems admirable, but unless it is founded in truth, it is a lost cause. God has ordained his church to be his body and to complete his mission upon the earth, Ephesians 4. Loyalty to truth includes being faithful to God's plan for his church. As Paul instructed, God designed the body to bring healing and edification to itself. Each member finding his place, filling his role, produced a church capable of ministering to the diversify needs that exist in every strata of society. God established a system of leadership within his church that operates under his authority. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Hebrews 13 and 17. Therefore, loyalty to truth require our loyalty to the leaders God has ordained in his church. True leaders do not demand submission to their own philosophy and ideals, but they follow the standards expressed by Paul. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Loyalty is not blind submission. It is realized, as Matthew, the tax collector, demonstrated, that serving the kingdom is more important than serving self, and that in order to find our place, we must submit to the authority that God has placed in our lives. Our loyalty to our leaders then is not just loyalty to them, but when we submit to them, we are submitting to God. And you'll see that over in the book of Romans, chapter number 13. Further, at the end of the age, not only will God's people reap the reward of their loyalty and faithfulness and enjoy the wonders of the heavens, but they will enter triumphantly into the holy city. Revelation 17 and 14 say, there shall war with the Lamb, those beasts that make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome thee, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, Matthew's own story and the written legacy he left for all believers bear witness of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to save, change, empower, and preserve believers. Unlike Moses, who chose to suffer affliction with the people of God, then to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, Matthew chose to begin his career as one who proceeds as a traitor to his God, his country, his people. He aligned himself with the government who occupied and many controlled his homeland. Matthew's choice prevented him from worshiping God as his family had done from centuries. But God, seeing things we cannot see, he saw in Matthew a man with the strength to make tough decisions and to stick with them, a man who had organizational and writing and accounting skills, who could deal with all manner of people. He saw that Matthew's grasped the often elusive concept of submission to authority, and that he will put the good of the kingdom of heaven above his own. Matthew quickly responded when Jesus beckoned, confirmed that what God sees in is more significant than what we can discern with our own eyes. Matthew's story is the value of being loyal to God's word. Initially, our loyalty honors God. We must submit our lives to his will and find our place in his kingdom. But as time passes, we begin to reap the reward of our own loyalty. The Lord whom we honor his own words, which promise salvation, comfort, provision, and healing. The cycle of loyalty becomes an endless circle along with God, which God's blessings flow. The ultimate gift of loyalty is not the unwavering faith that we give to him, but it is the trust that he placed in us, embracing the church as his bride. On that eternal heavenly morning, we will once again realize his undying loyalty to us. All of our faith and devotion will be bundled up, multiplied, and given back. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So far, the reading of our lesson and our sharing of our lesson on today. Loyalty is a characteristic trait in which God wants all of his people to horn, to have, to master, to live their lives by, being loyal to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Being faithful and loyalty is very key for the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you for this wonderful lesson on today about loyalty. Father, help us as never before to be loyal unto God and to your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we may be able to, Lord, be found faithful when you come, because we have a loyal spirit to the people, to the leader you submitted, put us up under, that we will submit to them, God, and their leadership, as well as, God, your principles, your precepts, your statutes, and serve and worship your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Father, bless every one of our hearing. Undergird them. May they be revived and renewed in their spirit, hearts, and mind to the glory of the Father which is in heaven. And, Father, we'll bless your holy name as we come back again for another opportunity to be at home. Helen, our ministry of power, ministry of empowerment, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich, child of God, and add no sorrow. I pray that there be a no sorrow blessing that will come unto you. May the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. Until we meet again, invite someone, encourage them to come and listen to home, that they may be edified, that they may be revelated, and that they may hear instruction, and that they may understand the ways and the things of God. Until we meet again, God bless you. Bye-bye.